Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. It's a pleasure to see our third, fourth, and fifth graders high-fiving each other and parents as they leave, and they're like, see you later, you know. I want to welcome you to our second 10:45 service. And if you thought today was 10:30 and you got here a little early, you're okay. If you got here and service was just starting and you're regularly late, then you're like, hey, this is great. I love this timing. So, you know, that's why we did it. If you're a guest with us, we'd especially like to welcome you. I hope that you have felt welcomed as you've come into this community. I hope that no matter where you are today in your faith, just like everyone else around you, all those who are watching online, I hope and I pray that you find yourself taking one step forward in your faith in Jesus. Wherever you are right now, that's our hope as a church. It's just that everyone would take one step forward. And as we begin this morning, I am well aware that I'm wearing a shirt with a big Jesus face on it. It's because we are in a series right now called Emoji Jesus, where we are taking different emoji pictures of Jesus, looking at the emotions that he experienced, recognizing that we experienced these too, and then asking ourselves, so what do we do with it, right? That's what we're doing over the next 5 weeks that we're doing it. And last week I felt a little insecure as it was like a baby blue, bright Jesus grinning at you face. Today, not so much, because Jesus is a little... It's a little harder to decode here, would you agree? Trying to figure out, what is Jesus experiencing right now? Why is he looking at me that way? It's okay. He's experiencing something that we all experience. And as I was preparing for some today and thinking a lot about how do I approach this topic, I was reminded of a great scene from one of my favorite movies. And in this scene, many of you have probably seen this movie, but there is a character, and he has devoted himself completely to fencing and trying to learn how to be the best swordsman that could ever be. And he comes to a place in his life where he is then interrupted by someone else who has studied just as much. And now they're in a fierce battle, a fencing battle. What do they do? And I want to show you this scene, and while the sword play is absolutely awesome, I want to encourage you, listen to the dialogue. Will you watch with me?
You are wonderful.
Thank you. I've worked hard to become so.
I admit it, you are better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I am not left-handed.
You are amazing.
To be after 20 years.
Oh, there's something I ought to tell you.
Tell me. I'm not left-handed either.
Consequence?
I must know.
Get used to disappointment.
Okay.
I know, you're like, I want to watch that. Any other Princess Bride fans here? Okay, awesome. If you haven't seen this movie, I don't know where you've lived for 30 years. This is a great movie, and I'm going to ruin it for you. If you haven't seen it, your fault. You know, the Dread Pirate Roberts is this masked man who's in this fierce battle with Inigo Montoya. And you know, they have this moment where they're battling and they both have expectations that they're going to win, that they're a better swordsman. And the reality comes into play when Inigo Montoya is disarmed and he gets shown up with a cool little like half pike backflip thing. And as he stands in front of the Dread Pirate Roberts, who is Wesley, I told you I was going to ruin it. As he stands in front of Wesley, he says, who are you? And he says, it's none of your business. He says, I have to know. And that's when Wesley uses this phrase, and I love it. Get used to disappointment. Get used to disappointment. And I know that sounds a little bit morbid, like get used to disappointment. Who wants a life like that? But if we stop for a second, we have to recognize that every single one of us experience disappointment daily. There is no way we can go throughout a day and not experience this emotion. I mean, it happens to all of us. Last week, I had these super high expectations that the Giants were going to show up to play football. And instead, I spent 55 minutes watching a flag football team play the Cowboys, which made it even worse. I was not happy. We experience disappointment. We experience disappointment. I thought this week I was going to be able to get a lot more administrative work done in the week. And I had high expectations of how I could use my time. And there were things that popped up that took my time. There were different appointments. There were different phone calls. There were different situations and circumstances that took my time away from what I wanted to do. And so I had this place where I know what I want to get done, and this is what I got done. And so I experienced disappointment. You experience disappointment too. And we all know that disappointment can go deeper than a lost football game or sporting event, and deeper than not accomplishing all we wanted to in a day. I mean, for all of our students and young adults and those in school, you know that disappointment that comes when you study your tail off and you think, I'm going to get this, I'm going to own this test, and you get that grade back and it does not match the work you put in. Your expectation is here. Reality is here. Disappointment. You know, when you said I do many, many years ago, and right now you're thinking I'm done. There's disappointment. You know, when you put that pressure on your kids and you think, here, but reality is here. I thought they'd be like this. I thought they would like that. We experience disappointment. It gets even harder sometimes when we start to look at ourselves and we think that we should be at a certain level. We have these ideals of where we should be, these hopes. And somehow, we're not where we thought we would be in life. We experience disappointment. If we don't know how to handle or process disappointment well, and we don't address it in a way that I believe biblically God gives us to address this so that we can deal with it, we are fast-tracked. We are on the easy pass lane to defeat and destruction. We will end with depression and defeat just so quickly because it spirals out of control. And so the question that we have to ask today is, did Jesus experience disappointment? I hope my shirt tells you yes, he did. And if Jesus experienced this, what did he do with it? How did he handle it? And so does that mean we can know that we're going to experience it? Yes. So what do we do? How do we handle it? And that's where we're going to go this morning. And to unpack it, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles with you, whether it's paper or it's on your phone or tablet, we'll be in Matthew 17. It's about three quarters of the way through your Bible. It's the first book in the New Testament, and amazing, amazing book. And so as you're turning there, let me set it up for you a little bit. This book, or this chapter, it's going to fall a couple chapters before what we went over last week. Last week, we talked about which emoji Jesus. Okay, Joy, you could talk back to me this morning. There's going to be a little bit of this, okay? Which emoji Jesus? Okay, did anybody find joy in any of those areas this week that we had listed up there? There was like seven of them. Did anybody find joy somewhere? Okay, if you don't mind, just shout it out. Where'd you find joy? Vocational joy. Oh, that's awesome. That's really encouraging. Where'd you find joy this week?
Nature.
Me too. Family. There's got to be more joy. Come on.
Food.
Hallelujah. I'm going to receive that. Right? So we talked last week. We can find joy, not just in our circumstances, but we have to find joy in who God's created us to be, in our relationship with him. And that idea was built off of a passage where Jesus takes 72 of his disciples. He pairs them off and he says, go heal people. They do that. They come back. They're pumped. And he's like, this is great. But it's not all about the circumstances, about your relationship with God. The chapter that we're in this morning in Matthew 17 is before this, right? And it's almost like a practice run that Jesus takes with his 12 disciples. And he takes his 12 and he says to them, you're going to go out and heal. Okay? So they go out and they're healing people and they're casting out demons in people and lives are being changed, and Jesus is like, this is awesome, right? This is good. As we get into Matthew 17, he takes three of his disciples and he says to them, I want to go up on a mountaintop with you, and we're going to have this experience together. And this is a passage we call the Transfiguration. And in this passage, Jesus transforms who he is in a physical way. He's completely different. And it floors all three of the disciples. But while they're up there, we have how many that are still down on the mountain? Nine. Okay, not hard math. I'm not going to make it hard. There's 12. Three are up top. Nine are down low. And the nine decide, since they're gone, we should still continue the job that Jesus gave us. We should continue to try to heal. And so they do that. And when Jesus comes down from the mountain, things are not as peaceful as they were up top. They're not as peaceful. This is what Jesus walks into in Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. When they came to the crowd, and they is all the disciples now, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed in that moment. Now, when it comes to disappointment, this story has it written all over it. You cannot read this story and go, I wonder if someone's disappointed. It is everywhere. Think about the man approaching Jesus. There's disappointment. Think about the disciples. They couldn't do the job that they thought they were supposed to do. There's disappointment. And then Jesus is very clearly there like, seriously? I just got down the mountain. How long do I have to do this with you guys? There is disappointment. And when it comes to disappointment, we can really get disappointed in only two things: people and circumstances. Our disappointment is rooted in how we handle and our expectations on two things: people and circumstances. Disappointment arises when our hopes are high, our expectations are elevated for something in a person or in a circumstance, but the reality is here, and this gap in between is our gap of disappointment. So the greater the height of our expectations and hope, and the lower the reality that we live in, the greater the disappointment that we experience. Does that make sense? Yeah. Excellent. There's this gap in between that we have to deal with. When we believe that a situation in our life should be different than it is, and we thought things would be different, but they're not. That shouldn't have happened in my life, but it did. We experience disappointment. It's important for us also to clearly state this morning and for me to say, if you experience disappointment in your life, this is not a sin. This is not something that's wrong with you. This is something that Jesus himself experienced. And we believe that Jesus was without sin, that he never sinned. So if he experienced disappointment, it can't be a sin. It's not. It's what we do with it that the biggest difference is going to be made in our life. But if maybe that's what you needed to hear this morning. Maybe you're beating yourself up because you always feel like you're disappointed in something or someone, and you feel like that's just, what do I do with this? I just need to tell you, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. It's an emotion that God gives us to show we have some sort of expectation that's not being met somewhere. Is it a realistic expectation, or is it unrealistic? But it usually happens in both circumstances and people. Now look at the circumstances that Jesus encounters when he comes down that mountain. He's left the nine, and things didn't go like they planned, right? He's got this idea, well, the disciples, at least, they had the expectation that they could heal, but it didn't happen. Jesus had, I believe, the expectation that things were going to be okay while he goes. Right, I'm going up on a mountain with these three guys. I'm going to freak them out. It's going to be awesome. When I come down, we'll tell you about it. But when he comes down, he gets bum-rushed immediately. The circumstances are not what he expected. And this man who approaches Jesus, he had expectations, didn't he? Expectations on the disciples. They could heal my son. Why can they heal my son? Because they've done it before. I've seen them heal people. But what's the reality? My son's still sick. My son's still throwing himself on a fire and trying to drown himself. And he's hurting himself. And something has to change. And they couldn't do it. There's disappointment in this man's life. So everyone's frustrated. What do you do with this passage? So Jesus, in a place of disappointment, he speaks to them. And this may sound harsh. Maybe it is a little abrasive. But this is his response. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Now, there's a lot of debate among scholars when it says "you unbelieving and perverse." The word "generation," is he talking about the entire generation of people that are living there? Is he just talking about Israel? Is he talking about the group that he exists in right now? Or is he talking about just the disciples? Who's he talking to? I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I do know is that what underlies this is he's frustrated here. Jesus isn't happy. These aren't things you say to people to really encourage them. "You're all sorts of messed up, and I don't want to deal with you anymore." What we know from this situation and from these comments is it's very clear. Jesus is disappointed. He's disappointed that this is what he's come down to. He's got high expectations for his disciples, doesn't he? He's continued to preach and to teach them at this level. This is what I want. And when you come back off the mountain, you get sucker punched with this? Have you ever gone away on vacation and you're totally at like peace when you come home? Think of the best vacation you've ever had, not the ones that drain you, like when you go to Disney and you come back thinking, "I don't ever want to go back again." The ones where you come back and you're like, "I can't wait to just walk into the house. It's going to be good. This week's going to be awesome." And the moment you step foot through the door, you know when everything crumbles on you? You know that moment when it's like, you know, this fire happened at work, this family crisis happened here, what happened to the dog, and what did they do all over the house? You know, when you get hit with that "what just happened" moment, this is where Jesus is. He has an ideal, but reality is different. No one is going to handle that situation well. And so he comes down the mountain, and before anything can happen, "No, hey, how was it? How did you do? What happened up on the hill?" It's, "Your disciples stink, man. I thought you were teaching them. I thought that they could heal. And I brought my kid to them, and they did nothing. Think you're doing something wrong. Just saying, it's off. It's broken. I wouldn't want to deal with that. I'm not doing well with this." And so when I see Jesus' response, am I like, "Oh, he's a mean guy"? No, I think of a God who says, "I have such high expectations. I have this great desire for you." But where reality is, looks different. He's expressing disappointment. And while disappointment can be this passing emotion that we feel over a stupid football game, we also know that there are some disappointments that come in our life that they affect everything we do for the rest of our lives. It's like a shadow that hovers over us, and it impacts every decision that we make. That disappointment, if we don't handle it well, can ruin our lives. Now, a disappointment's not a sin, but what we need to pay attention to is how do we handle it? Whether it's a circumstance, a person, or a combination of both, we have the choice in how we respond. So how does Jesus respond to this disappointment? What does he do? Let's look at how he handles it with his disciples. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. So they got their own little like 1-on-12 moment here. And they asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Notice that Jesus doesn't belittle them here. He points out reality, and then he points them to something bigger. Guys, I know what you want. You want to see this boy healed, right? This is the ideal. That's what you want because you've seen it before. I know what you want, but what you've got to get is reality isn't there right now. It's just not where it is. You're not there yet. Your goal is here, and I love that, but reality is here. You're going to live in disappointment. And so they question Jesus. Why couldn't we do it? Why? Because they genuinely want to. They want to impact the world. They want this boy to be healed. And Jesus just says, guys, you're all wrong. If you think it ends with this boy being healed, you're missing it. If you had more faith, if you could grow in your faith and just get to the point of a mustard seed, just get to a dot, you could do far more than heal a boy. You can look at a mountain and say, go from here to there. You could change the entire landscape of the earth if you had enough faith. Where's your faith, guys? He doesn't belittle them, but he calls them to something bigger. He calls them to something greater and says, you've got to find your faith if you want to get over this disappointment. You've got to know there's something bigger. There's something larger for you in life. But too often in our lives, when we're hit with disappointment, we camp there, don't we? When we're hit with disappointment, we don't lean on faith. We don't lean on areas of our life to say, how do I get through this? For some, and I believe for many, when something goes wrong, we wallow in it. We stay there. And when we camp in that place, it festers. And it starts to get larger. It starts to get bigger. We let it affect our lives. And it begins to take itself out on the people and the circumstances that put us in that position. And the worst part is when we really let it affect us, it begins to affect the people and the circumstances that were never part of it to begin with. You know those snaps that you have with people when you all of a sudden you're like, just back off. And they've had nothing to do with the situation. Why do we do that? We've been disappointed in something. We have let it fester and we've never dealt with it. So of course it's going to pour out on someone else. He gave us this emotion. It's not a bad thing, but we have to learn how to process it. When we experience painful emotions, it's important for us to learn to express them appropriately, not reactionary, whether that's expressed towards God or towards people. So where do you find yourself this morning when it comes to disappointment? How do you handle it? How do you react to it? Maybe you find yourself with disappointment this morning and you're just frustrated where life has you. Maybe you thought life was going to be more exciting than it is now. The thought of another meal, taxiing, another sporting event, the laundry, the food shopping, the house cleaning, the monotony of the same thing day in and day out. You're disappointed because you thought life was going to have you in a different place. Maybe it's the job you have. You feel like you're overqualified for the job you have, but there's no way up. Maybe there's disappointment as you look at your boss and you think, what an imbecile. This guy, this girl, they can't do anything right. And it's all fallen on me. There's disappointment there. Maybe, and this one's harder for our community right now, and I recognize it. Maybe there's disappointment in your parents. Whether you're a young adult, student, or anywhere along that line, there's disappointment in parents. And I say that because it's not like they did something wrong, but maybe sickness has hit a family in a way that you didn't expect. And now you're in a place where you're trying to take care of parents or counsel parents or do something with them because life has not put them where they thought they'd be. And now it's coming down and you know, they say it all goes downhill and you're the one who's downhill catching it all. And you're thinking, this isn't where life had me. I worked hard so that I could do what I want when I got older. And now I'm stuck doing this. That's not what I wanted. There's disappointment. For those of you in school right now, you're 2-3 weeks in. You're a month in if you're in college, and you had your ideal of where you thought you'd be. You thought it would look like this, and maybe it doesn't look like that at all. Friendships you thought were going to be awesome have gone sour. Classes you thought, I can't wait to take this, you want to throw the book at the teacher's face. What is that? It's disappointment. It's disappointment. We all have expectations when it comes to people and when it comes to circumstances. And when we place our unspoken expectations in people, we are usually disappointed in that. Has a close friend turned away from you? Has someone betrayed you? If you set your hopes on people always being there for you, you will be disappointed. Have you set your hopes on your children being all that you dream and hope for? They're going to change the world. What if they don't? What if we're setting our kids up for failure by expecting them to be the next major league soccer player? Or, you know, they're going to be the NFL star. They're going to be the ace pitcher. What if they're not? What if they're not? Do we get disappointed in our kids because we put unrealistic, unspoken expectations on them? Did you get married thinking that your husband or wife was going to completely fulfill you? They complete you. Can I just tell you something? There is no man on earth that can meet all of a woman's needs. It's just not doable. I can see some men going, yep. Amen. Come on. right? If you're married in this room, you're like, you should be nodding, but not too much because you don't want your wife to see that. Ladies, you're impossible to fulfill. But gentlemen, so are you. We're not meant to fulfill each other and to complete everything that we want and to find that completion in a spouse. That's designed to be found in God, and our spouse is our helpmate that points us to God at all times. But we place our hope thinking, when I get married, it's going to be rainbows and ponies. And you're like, no, it's dishes and laundry. It's disappointment. When we expect our joy to come from people, we will always find ourselves disappointed. But if we expect to find our joy in our circumstances, we're in trouble as well, because we talked about our circumstances are always changing, right? Last week we mentioned that over and over. There are too many variables in our life for them to stay the same. You remember that promotion you thought you'd get, but someone else got it because they knew somebody? Politics at work are the worst, aren't they? But it's part of our situation. You might deserve it more, but they get it. Right, our circumstances change. You know when you had your ideal of where you thought you'd be now, but that illness hit your family that completely changed your life? You never thought you'd be injured this way. You never thought you'd have that issue in your life, or your spouse would have that issue. And now you're in a place where when you thought you'd be here, you're here, and there's disappointment. The circumstance has changed. Maybe you find yourself today in a place where when you said I do, you never thought you'd be sitting here alone today. You never thought that. Not in your wildest dreams. And yet here you are. Circumstances change. And when we place our hope in people or circumstances, we will always be disappointed. And the hard thing about disappointment is not only do we all experience it, but we have to do something with it, right? And when we don't deal with the disappointment that's in our life, it works like a wedge. And I love this image that Ms. Vicki Kraft developed. She's amazing, out of Dallas Theological in Texas. And you know, it just makes sense to me, this wedge that we all experience disappointment, right? It's not that big of a deal. We all have to deal with it. And when it originally happens, disappointment isn't that big of a portion of our life. But if we leave disappointment and we don't deal with it right where it is, it usually leads to a place of discouragement. And discouragement takes on a little more of our life. It starts to affect some things here and there. When discouragement, left unchecked and not redirected, it usually moves to a place of disillusionment. And disillusionment simply means you're seeing things differently than reality. You have this, what you think is reality, but reality is not reality. You have become blinded to what's happening around you. You're no longer willing to listen to people. This is a problem. Because when disillusionment happens and you don't listen to people, this spirals quickly into depression. And depression is a very dark place. A very dark place where you don't see a way out. And when you can't see a way out, it leads to a defeated life. And when I say defeated life, I mean it at the worst moment, where you are done. We have to deal with disappointment when it comes our way. And if we don't, this wedge begins to take up more and more of our life. And I want to tell you, if you're in these bottom three areas, the disillusionment, depression, and defeat, these areas are really hard to deal with. I get that. I have been in this area before. And it's ugly. It's just ugly. And I want to be honest with you, one of the only ways to get out of this area is you need to see a good counselor. You need to see a good counselor who's going to help you understand there is a way out of here, because sometimes family and friends, they have your best interest in mind, and they're like, it'll be good, but then they usually say things like, it'll all work out, and you're like, I want to punch you in the face. I don't want to, it's not going to work out. Because our view of reality is distorted, and we need someone outside of our own circumstances who can look and say, you know what? Where you're at does stink. Where you're at, this is difficult. I see that. How did you get there? And as they walk you through how you got there, they can help you see Jesus as you walk out. It's important. You find yourself there, and for those who you're probably thinking, oh, counselors are for weak people, I pity you. You're far more messed up than you have any idea. They're the God's gift to us to process what's going on in our life and desperately needed to help point us back to God. We need them when we're in this situation. But it takes a lot to kind of get us down there. What about just the little disappointments, the discouragements when we find ourselves there? This one, you know, I think we can deal with this portion on our own. And we can handle this because Jesus handled it. And so what do we do? How do we handle it? I like what the Apostle Paul writes in the first letter to the church in Thessalonica. He says this starting in verse 15 of chapter 5. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love this because right in the beginning, he says, when people do you wrong, don't do wrong back, right? Like, do good. Air your life on doing good. Everything. And then I want you, and I love this, the key to it is found in verse 18. Give thanks when? Talk back. What about the really crappy circumstances? You give thanks. What about when things are really good? It's easy to give thanks. Giving thanks is the key. If we want to get out of disappointment, we have to learn to stop, take a step back and say, what is it that I'm thankful for, even in this situation, even in this circumstance or in that person? If we can't find something to be thankful for, we will spiral into this wedge and it will consume our lives and we will end in defeat. And God's design is not that we would end in defeat, but we would move mountains with the faith that he's given us. But we have to stop and find the faith to trust that God is in the people, God is in the circumstances, and God is in the disappointment that we experience. He's in it. And so when the disciples experience this disappointment, what does he say? Look at reality, man. You don't have the faith. But you can. And when you grow in your faith, you're going to move mountains. And I believe God's word is the same for us today. I know that you're in a garbage situation. I know you feel defeated. I know you feel depressed. I know you're not seeing things right. I know that you are disappointed. But I am with you in this. Find your faith and rise above it and find something to be thankful for in this situation. Just find it. You've got to find something in those moments of disappointment. You need a glimmer of hope to know that it will not always be this way. So maybe it is your family. Maybe it's a work issue that has you disappointed. What can you be thankful for there? Maybe it's your health, and you're in a place where you never thought you'd be. God's in that too. What can you be thankful for in that situation? For many here, I know that your marriage or your recent divorce has you overly disappointed. You are not where you expected to be, but there is something to be thankful for in this. What is it? For our teens, our young adults, I know that parents, school, friends, they're a constant place of disappointment. Instead of sitting in it and wallowing in it, what can you do to find something to be thankful for in that situation this morning? Maybe the hardest person to deal with when it comes to disappointment is yourself. God doesn't want you to live in that place. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you dearly and believes with a little faith you could change the world. Maybe your bar is in an unrealistic place for you and for everybody around you. I'm not asking you to lower your bar. I'm asking you to ask God, is it in the right place? Because some people here, you need to give yourself a breather sometimes. Take a minute. Stop. And ask God, in that situation, what can I be thankful for today? We began this morning with a quote from the Dread Pirate Roberts that simply said, get used to disappointment. But I want to end it with the words from Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Let's give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We have to be proactive about our thanksgiving, or disappointment will take us over. And it would be really horrible of me as a pastor to say, hey, let's talk about disappointment a whole lot. Let me leave you in a funky place. Have a great week, everybody. I don't really operate that way, and we don't as a church. We want to give you space to process it a little bit. And so we're going to take some time, and I'm going to ask you, in your situation of disappointment this morning, where you feel like Jesus, you can identify with him this morning. Where can you be thankful? You're going to find note cards all over your seats and pencils. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write. What can you be thankful for? What is it in your life, in the situation that you're in, that you would say, God, in this moment, I'm disappointed. But I can also be thankful. As you find that thing that you're thankful for, I'm going to ask that you would simply write it down and then come up. And when you come up, grab a piece of tape off the side of the board and just stick it on the whiteboard. And my hope, my desire is that we would see a board of thankfulness, knowing you're not different from anyone else around you who's experienced disappointment, maybe this morning, maybe even right now. But there's something to be thankful for. What is it? Don't take the easy way out and be like, I'm thankful it's nice outside today. No. Find the place of disappointment, identify what it is, and say, God, in that crappy moment, where are you? What can I be thankful for right now? When you find it, write it. If there's multiple situations, you're like, I'm disappointed in everyone and everything. We got lots of cards. Grab some off other, it's fine. You can be thankful for a whole lot. And when you have it, come and stick it on the board. And we're going to continue as we worship. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, I recognize that there's a lot I don't understand, and sometimes my expectations, they're too high and they're not realistic, and there's other times that it's simply an issue. My faith is not great enough. But I'm thankful you're with me on the journey this morning, and you've not left me. You didn't leave the disciples when they didn't live up and they experienced disappointment. You stayed with them and you called them to something greater. So for this morning, God, I ask for every person who is here who's trying to process, what am I experiencing, what am I feeling, and how do I handle disappointment? I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment to know what it is, why they're experiencing it, where their expectations in someone or something weren't right. And that you would bring peace to that situation. You would help them to find something to be thankful for. And in doing that, you would grow their faith. And as you grow their faith, they would see you move in their life. And that would be their step this morning. God, I thank you that we can also trust you with all that we have. And so as we take a moment to sing and to respond by putting cards on a board and also respond by giving back to you, I thank you that we can trust you with all things and find joy in giving to you as well. So God, I pray that you would bless us as we sing, as we respond, that you would meet us in a moment of thankfulness. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.